We live in the world of Captain Kirk and the Universal Translator, solving the problem of language that separates the world. How are we solving it? That's what we're talking about today on this episode of Microsoft Dev Radio. Hi, and welcome to the next episode of Microsoft Dev Radio. I'm Jerry Nixon, and I'm here with Yasmin from Skype and Olivier from Microsoft Research, and we're here to talk about an awesome new product that we have. And before we start talking about anything, Yasmin, let's start with who you are.
Hi, my name is Yasmin Khan, and I'm with Skype, and I work in the product marketing group here, and we love our Skype products, and Skype Translator was a great new product that we got to work on this year.
Awesome. Olivier, who are you?
So my name is Olivier Fontana. I work in the Microsoft Research team, and I'm in charge of product strategy and product marketing for everything touching translation technologies in Microsoft.
Awesome. Okay. Well, let's start with what we're talking about, Microsoft Skype Translator. Yasmin, what is it?
So as many of your audience members know, that Skype started about 10 years ago trying to break the barriers of space and time. So if I'm in London and my husband's in the United States, we basically can Skype and we can see each other. And so it's just not audio. We have video and audio. So we basically broke the communications barrier, the distance barrier about 10 years ago. And since then, obviously, there's been lots and lots of technology challenges, and one of them being language. So the language barrier is one of the most difficult challenges to solve from a technology perspective and from just a human perspective. So Skype and Microsoft Research have taken on this challenge with Skype Translator. So essentially, Skype Translator helps people communicate with different people around the world in different languages. So essentially, I can understand my colleague in France or in Spain with Skype Translator. We have 45 IM languages, and right now we have two spoken languages, English and Spanish.
So Skype Translator is both both IM and spoken.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's terrific. Now, help me, Olivier. I feel like I've talked about this before. Doesn't Microsoft already have a translation technology?
Absolutely, and that's how we built Skype Translator. So when you think about it, Microsoft Translator has been around for many years. We started the first trials 8 years ago, and it's available as an API that developer can purchase to use in any kind of app for text translation. What we did here is added speech recognition that we leveraged from the Cortana work and improved on, and then glued everything together, added the Skype technology to provide this end-to-end solution as a first step of using voice translation.
Now, Yasmin, this seems like a very important technology, not just for Microsoft, but kind of for the entire world together. This is a pretty exciting project to be on, I would imagine.
Absolutely. It's one of the most exciting projects I've actually been on in my career. It breaks down the language barrier and the communications barrier between so many different types of communication styles. And when people can speak in their own language, it allows other people to really understand what they're trying to say. And, you know, it just brings people so much closer together. So we have these, you know, different messages externally about breaking down barriers. It really truly does break down barriers and allows people to communicate more freely.
Yeah, and Skype brings us together, but we don't necessarily have that ability to communicate because of language, and now we address that as well. That's pretty
Absolutely.
Awesome. So you said there are quite a few IM languages. How many did you say there were?
There are about 45 IM languages.
Yeah, that's a bunch. And then there are two spoken languages. What are the current spoken languages?
So Spanish and English currently is available today. And, of course, we're working on other languages, but at this point we don't, we're working on different languages across the board.
Now, I know that in the Bing translator, I can translate to Klingon. Is that eventually going to be a spoken language as well, you think? Maybe.
That is TBD.
It's better not to talk about future plans.
Exactly. We don't talk about roadmaps. Yes.
But speaking of future plans, if a user wants to start using the Skype translator today, what's the story for them? What's its availability?
So if a user wants to use Skype translator today, we highly recommend they go to skype.com/translator, okay. Sign up for the preview version of Skype Translator, and we'll communicate to them when Skype Translator is available to them. So then they will be able to download the software and actually use the software with their family and friends. But today it is available by invitation.
Okay, so this is, we really are, this is a sneak peek in a lot of ways of what's coming and kind
Absolutely.
Of where we're headed. All right, that's exciting. All right, we're on Dev Radio. I want to talk a little bit about the developer side of things. Olivier, can you kind of walk me through how does this thing work? It seems complicated. I know that when I see Captain Kirk and he's talking into the Universal Translator, it's very small, so that makes it seem simplistic, but what's behind the scenes here?
Sure, let me explain you a bit more about that. And to add to what Yasmin was saying, you know, she mentioned it's 45 languages. The reason we have 45 languages is because it's built on Microsoft Translator. So when you go to bing.com/translator, those are the same 45 languages. And the same day, a new language will show up because we release regularly new languages. And I can't tell you which one when, but we'll have a new one this year as well. They will, the same day, show up in Skype translators for IM translation. As far as Klingon translation, we need data to record. It's machine learning. So if you know a lot of native Klingon speakers, you might be able to do it. Let me show you a little slide that explains a little bit how that works.
Yeah, please do. Okay, I can see your slide. Walk me through it.
So at a very high level, Skype Translator as a solution is really built on four different elements. The first one is obviously the speech recognition, what we call the ASR for automatic speech recognition. Then there is the core translator API, Microsoft Translator, the same one that you'll find in all the Microsoft products, whether it's Bing Translator, whether it's Office and Link and so forth. And then there is a Skype infrastructure and a conversation bot that will manage all those conversations. And finally, there is a client because we need a dedicated client with a specific UX to manage the translations. And all that makes Skype Translator. So let me double-click a little bit more about what are those elements and how they function together.
Okay.
So at a high level, you can think about two big components, the client and the cloud services, because that's only possible. And to go back to your question about the little piece of translator technology that Captain Kirk had, we need the power of the cloud to make that work. It is obviously very, very CPU and RAM consuming to run speech recognition and translation services. Okay. Within these cloud services, we have the Skype service, which is kind of the backbone of the communication and managing all that, and then the Microsoft Translator core technologies for all the rest. So let me walk you through a typical call to explain a bit how that works and what section does what. The first thing what happens is as you make a call, you will get into what we call the Skype Translator bots. So it's a software robot that separates the audio streams to be able to treat them separately. Because a regular Skype, you only have one audio stream. So how can you separate which audio is, say, in Spanish and which one is in English? So
Great
we have
point.
To manage them
yeah.
separately. Little side note, that's why it's critical. If you want Skype Translator to work, you need to ensure that yourself and the person you're calling are on everybody can call me and not only my contacts. Because guess what? The bots are not in your contact list.
So if
you're not completely open privacy-wise, the call just won't go through. That's a limitation today. But that's,
so in a sense, this is a group call of me and the bot.
Exactly. We're actually leveraging a group video call features of Skype to do those calls.
Okay.
That's really, you know, how the sausage is made in that case. So once the audio stream has been separated, the audio stream in one language, and we know which language it is because of the user selected their own language, we go into a speech recognition engine. What we did is we took the deep neural network machine learning system that was built for Cortana, and we expanded these capabilities to not only recognize shortcomings but also day-to-day conversation. And the way we do that, because machine learning is data, mm-hmm. we need thousands of hours of recorded conversation to teach the system a new language. Mm-hmm. There are two interesting things. The first one is a new language is just more data. It's very easy. We get X thousand hours of conversation, we can add a new language. However, the way machine learning works with deep neural networks is such that when you teach the system English, then when you add Spanish, not only it learns Spanish, but it makes the English should be better. That's kind of the magic behind deep neural networks. Nobody is 100% sure why it does that, but our researchers figured that out.
And, I mean, when we see things like machine learning and neural network, I mean, we're almost splitting the atom here. This is some serious technology and engineering behind it. Yeah, and so this isn't a simple voice-to-text translation. I mean, this is truly finding the language or the actual words that are being spoken, right? Yeah.
It is. You know, I work on neural networks 20 years ago when I was in university, 18 years ago. And we had neural networks were already here. And it was very, very simple, very straightforward. Now we're talking about massive systems that require enormous processing capabilities to just build the model, not even using it, but just build the model. It's not something you'll do on your little laptop or your tablet.
Yeah, they would cripple a machine, but in something as scalable as, say, Azure, right, it just goes and goes and just and consume what it needs to do.
And we're using our data centers and some optimization to actually build those models, and then we run the models themselves on the regular servers that we're using for Transera as well. So once you've gone through the automatic speech recognition, what you get is what I will say a semi-recognized sentence. Typically, people will speak and will have what we call dissonances, the hum and whatever that is in your language.
Sure.
Also, it's just speech recognition. So we don't know, was it a question? We don't know intonation yet. What is a punctuation? So what we have, we've developed, leveraging the huge database of Microsoft Translator, that we have millions and millions of sentences in every language that we're supporting, we're using those capabilities to do speech correction. And we do four things to make this speech recognition better.
Okay.
The first thing we do is add punctuation.
Yeah.
So in that case, this is a ham pig. We'll say, you know what, that's a full sentence. We have a subject, a verb, a complement. We know we're done here. Is not waiting for a certain thing. So we'll add the little period. You can see the little red dot here.
Yeah.
The second thing, we'll go through the system. We'll say, okay, is there anything that should be capitalized? In that case, just the capital T. But let's say you talk about Windows. Depending on whether you say, I want to upgrade my Windows machine or I want to clean my Windows, we should be able to know whether it should be a capital W, the brand, or a small W. Which obviously makes a huge difference when you try to translate, because garbage in, garbage out.
Mm-hmm.
The third thing we do is what we call disfluency removal. So language by language, we're teaching the system what are the typical words or fillers that people use.
Mm.
The hum in English, the in French. If one day we do, when we do Japanese, obviously things like eto we'll have to get rid of, because that doesn't translate well. The last one is we look at the sentence itself and say, okay, does this sentence even make sense? Are people saying that is this language? I mean, in English, you wouldn't say this pig, this is pig. You will say either this is pork, if you're talking about food, or something else. So probably what the person meant was, this is big. Makes more sense.
Yeah.
Once we have done that, then we can go into the translation engine. But the first thing we do, we send the IM message back with, here's what we understood. So the person that spoke can immediately see whether the sentence was properly recognized or not. And based on that, they can, you know, decide to repeat the same sentence again.
So Olivier, from time to time, I interact with Cortana on my phone, and I'll say something, and it's totally wrong, and then all of a sudden it's right. And so is it going through this process on the back end?
It is going through some of this process, but not as advanced. You know, Cortana is kind of the first step, and it's really limited to those kind of short interactions. Here we're talking about us having this kind of a conversation. It's real-life conversations we're having.
Let me ask you, when I interact with the translator like this, am I interacting – clearly it's not a word-for-word translation. You're translating it by a sentence, or is it a stream of constant communication? Are you breaking it up?
It's a sentence. We call that a utterance. So when we go into the translator, we use the Microsoft Translator Core API. It's another machine learning. So we have two machine learning systems in this solution. It's statistical machine translation, and it's called statistical machine translation because what it does, it takes words, but then words are next to them and goes all the way to seven words.
Okay.
And look at those and the probability that those words, 2, 3, 4, 6, and 7, are going to be together in one sentence in this particular language. So that's why it's all about data. And that's also why, by the way, interestingly enough, Skype Translator does better with longer sentences that are 5, 10, 15 words than the very short one. Because with a very short one, we have less ways of ensuring that translation will be good because
sure. We
have less data to look at. But if you have a sentence that is like 10 words, then the probability is pretty high that we'll find a really, really good match for translation.
And I assume month after month, year after year, it only gets better and better because you're getting so much data that you can compare against.
So what we do with Skype Translator is that we ask for approval. And if you don't want to do it during the preview, it's fine. You just won't be able to use it. But during the preview, we ask for authorization to record your conversation. And what we do, we record every utterance. So utterance is like one sentence until a break. So in that case, it will be this is big. We record the WAV file and the text we recognize. And on a regular basis, we actually use humans that listen to the little audio file. They have no idea who said that, and it's utterance by utterance. And they look at the text, and when it's not correct, humans correct it. And we take all those new data, we feed in the system, we run another learning cycle, and then we create a new version of the runtime that Skype Translator will run on.
So,
same thing for translation. We regularly feed new content that have been verified by human translator to make it better.
Terrific. Terrific. And does it improve for me, or does it improve for all English speakers?
For everyone.
Okay.
For everyone. No, it's really for everyone today. It's really one big day. We don't have like per person. But the beauty of that is that the more we have, the better we become. So this morning, again, with Yasmin, we were talking about French speaking English with an accent.
Yeah.
And as I was explaining, the more we get French people using Skype Translator in English, the better Skype Translator will be able to understand the very strong French accent.
Uh-huh. I get
it. That's the way it works. And Indian accent, whatever accents you want.
Does it handle cultural references or idioms or anything like that? How do those
We do have things like this. So we do have expressions that are being translated in translation because, remember, Microsoft Translator has been around for a long time. So we have these parallel languages that already have been translated. So we know that when you say he runs cats and dogs in English, in French, it actually translates by he's running ropes. Not it runs cats and dogs, because that would be really weird in French. And vice versa, if I were to say it's raining rope in English.
It rains ropes in French, huh?
Yes.
Fascinating.
Yeah. But think about it, a lot of rain, it looks like ropes for you.
Yeah, makes plenty of sense now. Yeah, yeah. Totally. All right, so I'm with you on that.
So once you've done the translation, the text is then sent back, so you can see the IM translation. And some people can decide to just switch off text-to-speech and just read, like subtitles, to go faster, or just because they understand a bit of the language, they just want to be sure they got it correctly. But else, the default model is we go through a text-to-speech API. It's part of the core Microsoft Translator API. People can use it already today. And then the text-to-speech audio file goes through the bot back to the final client. And the same way the other way around from when the other person replied.
And the text-to-speech actually speaks it with the accent of the target language.
Yeah. Yeah. If you go today to bing.com/translator, for instance, if you go to translation, you have a little icon that says speak, so you can actually hear the sentence said already. So that's the same API we leverage. I mean, this is core technology that we have developed over the years, and we're really trying to leverage that and make them better across the different usage models and scenarios in Microsoft and more broadly, because the API is actually available for any enterprise developer that want to use it for their own application.
What's the experience for the user? When I'm talking to you, can I speak at a cadence that I'm used to, or do I need to speak a little bit slower, or what's the right way?
So the way I describe it is you need to articulate. And what happens if you articulate, by definition, you're going to slow down a little bit to something that is more manageable. So the speed I have now is the speed you can use with Skype Translator. Because remember, the model of speech recognition is based on data. The data is people speaking normally. So if you speak really slow, it won't work. The quality of the sound is also very important. So if you're if you're speaking really, really quickly like this without articulation, I don't know whether you're me, it's not going to work. If you have a lot of background noise, if you have a poor microphone, it's not going to work. The example I give is think about you learning another language. I don't know, but the first time I went as a student in the UK and I ended up in a pub I can tell you, I thought I was speaking pretty good English. I couldn't understand a thing because of the background noise and people speaking over each other and so forth. Translator is a bit like this. Now he's at the stage of, okay, I can understand when it's quiet, when you speak, you articulate, you don't use too many idioms, and slowly you will get better and better.
And is it good with specialized words? Like if I'm in the medical field, is it going to be able to handle those specialized words?
It depends, because in Microsoft Translator, we have lots of those words. So sometimes we do have them. Like technology, we do really well because we have built a big database. Because remember, Translator, the core text API, is used for the help of the tech support types guys in the Microsoft. It's used for help files of Windows. It's used for many things within Microsoft. So we have a lot of tech content already translated. Medical field, it depends. What happens is that we have more and more customers developing their own text translation system based on ours. They can customize. We have something called the Microsoft Hub. Okay. And as they use that, we get this data and make the core translator better. So it really depends on what it is. Some of them will work just fine. Some of them are a bit arcane. Probably not.
Okay, so the hard work is up in the cloud. It's not taxing my machine. Walk me through what's going on.
So basically what happens is we have those massive servers that are already here for the translator that we've been using for years in our Microsoft data centers. And we have dedicated machines that can scale the provision as needed for the actual speech translation. And it's all the glue put together that bring this solution to market in Skype Translator as an end-to-end product for the consumer, which becomes completely transparent for him. The beauty is that eventually you'll be able to get on your smartphone, on your tablet, on your TV, on whatever you want. Because we don't need something special on the client. It's really the power of the cloud.
Okay, so now let's step back and talk about the developer. The developer's looking, they're like, okay, this Skype translator is genius, right? But there's also this Microsoft translator. What's the developer story here?
So Microsoft Translator is an API that is available already for the last three years for a developer to just use as is. We support AJAX, we support HTTP REST. So you can just build an app, build a service on the cloud, and call the API. It's actually extremely simple. It's very hard to build for us. It's very simple to use for the developer. It's one call with a string of text. We say up to 10,000 characters, de facto 3,000 to 5,000 is faster. You can have as multiple threads as you want at the same time because we scale easily. And we automatically recognize the language, and we send back the text within a few hundred milliseconds, translated in whatever language you set up when you send the call. And that's it. You just take the text and as an ingress for your program, and you just do whatever you want. You can display it on the screen. You can then call the API for text-to-speech if you want to do text-to-speech. You can do whatever you want. It's very simple. By the way, this API is available in the Azure Data Market. You just search for Microsoft Translator on Azure Data Market, and there is a free subscription at the 2 million characters level. There is no catch, no limitation. You can keep it for the next, as long as you want. There is full feature. The only thing is after 2 million characters, it just stops working until the next month. That's it. And we have tens of thousands of developers using that for mobile apps, for web service, for pages, for whatever you want. If you go beyond that, then you can subscribe. I did a little math one to give people an order of magnitude. If you want to translate the whole 7 Harry Potter books, that will cost you something like $60.
In one minute.
So it's pretty cheap.
Yeah, that's right. And it may sound like to a developer watching, they may think, okay, Olivier sounds like he's oversimplifying an API. But I've used it too. I can tell you it is 100% as easy as you think. You pass in this either string or array of strings, and presto, it just flies back. And what you would think was, I pass you more and more and more and more, and I give you all of the text from a Harry Potter book. It comes back as if I passed you a sentence because everything on the back end scales the way that you guys have designed it and made it awesome. And from my perspective, everything is just lightning fast and awesome. So you're right. On the marketplace, you can go and get it, and there's that free tier, and you can do a whole bunch right there. And it's really the only limitation is it's sort of a cliche sounding thing. The only real limitation is the developer's imagination, right? What can they actually accomplish? And I think there are probably quite a few apps out there that that should be using this technology and aren't, right? And there are probably quite a few out there that could be using this technology but haven't thought about it yet. And so there's a whole new aspect of it. And I think when we look at, you tell me, when we look at Skype Translator, it's the perfect case study of just how awesome the Microsoft Translator API can be implemented.
Yes. Yes, and obviously we'll think about in the future of how we can do the same, offer the same kind of API approach to the speech recognition one, but that's, you know, further. We don't have yet something fixed.
The one last thing,
by the way, talking about developer stories, important things. When you use Visual Studio, Translator is integrated, so you can take your app and do translation of all your resources into another language, which means that as a developer, instead of shipping your app in English, you can, with a cost of zero, ship it in 20, 30 language, whatever they have in their in Visual Studio, all that for free.
All that using, that's the multilingual toolkit you're talking about, right? That allows me to go into a resource file and take all my strings and translate it, with the caveat that every developer should at least remember that you got to do some sort of sanity check, because you might accidentally be getting one or two of those words in a funny way. Have a buddy of yours, send it off to something, even a professional if you have to.
That's a good way to go faster. And the interesting thing, we did some math, and really you just need 10 languages to cover 80% of the world, or no, more, 90-something percent of the world GDP.
Is that right? English has to be in that list. No
so English, Chinese, Japanese, French, German, Spanish, Turkish, I'm forgetting, Portuguese, obviously, Russian, top of mind.
So the
list is on the Microsoft.com/translator website.
They're all supported by the translator already, so you might as well just go ahead and knock those out. Yeah, makes sense to me. Yasmin, I want to transfer back here and talk about the Skype Translator product just for a second. Are we going to see this as available to everybody? Is this just going to be a part of Skype? I'm sure you haven't really thought about, you know, how to product. I'm sure you have actually thought about how to productize it, but you're not wanting to talk about that here. But is this going to be something that everybody's just going to have? It's a click this button so I can translate.
So the goal of the preview release right now is to basically validate the technology in our clients. So we want to make sure that the product is solid and it works really well for our users, because Skype, as you know, has been around for a long time. So we want to make sure the quality that they're used to in their day-to-day communications on Skype is just as good in Skype Translator. So we don't have, of course, the dates that it'll be available in the core clients yet, but that is something we are working on a daily basis. But the goal is to have Skype translators part of the core client and core functionality of Skype in the future.
And I'm sure that someday, just like today, we have those websites with hilariousautocorrect.com sort of thing. Someday, I'm sure we'll have the hilariousskypetranslator.com for that.
Absolutely.
Just hits those sweet spots.
Exactly. Olivia and I are working on that in our spare time.
Okay, so the next steps, Yasmin, you tell me. The next steps, if you want to be involved, is to sign up and get on the, do you call it a waiting list? What do you call it?
So basically the preview list, so skype.com/translator again for the preview list to get the software. And then, of course, what Olivier spoke about from a developer perspective, to get the API, you would go to the Microsoft Translator website.
Got it. So if I'm a developer, I go to the Microsoft Translator website. If I'm a user, I get on the list, which I'm sure is crazy popular, probably way more than you're going to want in a beta test right now. But it just goes to show how there's a demand for this sort of service.
Absolutely. And we're trying to get to everyone as quickly as possible. So we would, you know, encourage people to go to skype.com/translator. But like I said, this is a preview release, and we're trying to get through the list as quickly as possible. So thanks for everyone's patience.
Thank you, Yasmin. Olivier, thanks for walking us through all the technology. I'm excited about the Microsoft Translator API and all the things that it can do. It's not something new, right? We're not announcing that or introducing it. This is something that's been around and is really not only stable but rich, and there's a lot that developers can use right there. But now we get to see it implemented in our Skype product and just really see how powerful it can be. Yasmin, thanks for being on the show.
Sure. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Olivier, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.